You're listening to Operation Dichotomy. I'm Paul, I'm your host, and we are the bridge between perception and reality. Thanks for joining us again on this week's episode of our podcast. If you haven't quite caught up to what we're doing yet, we're going to spend these next 2 weeks talking about this idea of allies and what that means, why that's important for our society, and I guess why it's important enough for us to devote 2 weeks to be talking about it. So if you're not really sure what the context of this term allies is from, most generally speaking, in the society that we live in, at least that I live in the United States, I feel like this term became more prevalent in usage in response to what's been going on with the Black Lives Matter movement because of the systematic racism that Black people have faced in this country. We, as in myself and others who are not Black, need to stand up together as allies for people who are facing injustice. When one group of people suffers, there should be a lot of other good people around them standing up together so that they don't have to fight themselves. That's the whole point of allies, right? People working together to stand up against the enemy, the common enemy together, which is not necessarily other people, depending on the context that you're in. But it's really just standing up for the justice that not everyone gets to have. But anyways, talking about allies, I want to start off today by going back to this story of Amy Cooper and Christian Cooper, who are unrelated, that happened right around the time of George Floyd. And so today it's the middle of August. I think this happened a couple of months ago. And if you're not really sure what the story was about, let me just recap it for you real quick. There was a white woman named Amy Cooper walking her dog through the park in Central Park, New York. And this dog was off leash. Christian Cooper is a Black man, and he was a bird watcher at the time. I guess he still is a bird watcher, but during the time of this incident, he was watching birds in the park, and he saw this dog just running off leash in the area. And long story short, this dog was not supposed to be off leash. It wasn't. It was against the rules due to the park regulations and bird watching, some of the technical stuff that I won't get into. And he basically called her out saying, "Hey, lady, you got to keep this dog on a leash. This is against the rules." And then what happened after that was she actually called the police. She said that she was being threatened by a Black man. And he actually recorded the whole incident on video, so you see exactly what was happening and what wasn't happening. And at the end of the day, the verdict basically was that there was no threat. It was just an innocent Black man who was bird watching, and this white woman called the cops on him because she felt threatened. The common response to this incident was that it was an act of racism, that because this white woman walking through the park saw a quote-unquote scary Black man, she called the cops. And it was indicative of some of the systemic racism that exists in our society today against Black people. And that's kind of why it blew up so big. Well, whatever happened to Amy Cooper? And what exactly was the result of that situation altogether? When the incident first happened, they said that within 24 hours, she publicly apologized. And whether or not you believe that she was actually sorry, I mean, to be honest, it's not really up to us to judge whether or not she was sorry or she wasn't. You know, there's some people saying that she only apologized because she needed to save herself and, you know, make herself look better for the incident. There are some who say that she was genuinely apologetic. I guess that's between her and God, right? We'll never really know. But anyway, she publicly apologized pretty quickly, but also within 24 hours, she got fired from her job. She got charged with filing a false report to the police, which is classified as a misdemeanor and can lead up to a year of imprisonment or other related punishments. I guess she got publicly humiliated. Like, she was called out as the racist, which, you know, maybe she should have been, maybe she shouldn't have been. That's really depending on the perspective that you ask. But that's not my point. What I do want to point out is that after that incident, Amy Cooper, this was her response. And again, whether or not she meant this genuinely, that's not up to me. I don't even think that's up to you either. But this is what she said. "I reacted emotionally and made false assumptions about his intentions when in fact I was the one who was acting inappropriately by not having my dog on a leash. If she meant it, man, that apology sounds pretty good. She understands that she reacted emotionally. She did make a false assumption, which, racist or not, that's kind of what we all do, right? I mean, let's be real. We make false assumptions all the time. Just not on the hugely broadcast stage like it was for her. And in fact, she even admitted that it really was her mistake and she was the one acting inappropriately by not having a dog on a leash. When I see all this, what I see is a woman who made a mistake. And that mistake can be the dog off the leash. That mistake can be having racist views and acting upon them inappropriately. That mistake could be a lot of different things. But whatever that mistake is, I see someone who, in my opinion, and maybe this is because of the punishment and the negative backlash that she received, either way, I feel like she's trying to rectify the situation. She's recognizing her wrong. She's apologized to Christian Cooper, and she's doing whatever she can to move forward with that. And honestly, Christian Cooper is basically doing the same thing. He is recorded as saying, Amy Cooper already paid a steep price. Bringing her more misery just seems like piling it on. And he says that in response to the district attorney basically pursuing the charges of filing false claims, which, you know, I guess it is a crime or it is a misdemeanor. So I can't blame them for doing that. But I think what's interesting is that Christian Cooper makes it a point that he's not going to be the one involved with bringing those charges against her. Later, he says, I think it's a mistake to focus on this one individual being Amy Cooper. And the important thing is the important thing the incident highlights is the longstanding, deep-seated racial bias against us black and brown folk that permeates the United States. So on one hand, Amy Cooper made a mistake. She admits it. She apologizes. Christian Cooper basically, in my opinion, kind of accepts that she made a mistake and accepts her apology and is trying to give her space to move on with her life and really thinks that she doesn't need any more punishment than the firing and the public humiliation that she already received. What bugs me about this situation, it's the public reaction to Amy Cooper. And if I'm being more specific, what bugs me the most are the people on the outside who are essentially calling for her head. And I say that figuratively and literally because there were actually some comments that called for her physical head. They wanted her to die. They thought that she, for some reason, deserved death based on this incident, which, let me go on record as saying, even Christian Cooper was like, that's ridiculous. I think this is one of the most prominent examples of cancel culture that we have. A woman makes a mistake, and yes, it was a big mistake, and it was pretty much a blatant act of racism on her part. But do we have to cancel her altogether? She already lost her job. She has probably undergone more shame in the public eye than any of us will ever have to. She's going to be forever stained as the racist wherever she goes. Will she get another job? Man, I don't know. But this is always going to be on there. She's always going to be known as that woman, Amy Cooper, who called the cops on a black man who was completely innocent and looked like a fool for doing it. Do we need to add more punishment? Do we have to cancel her? And I think the question that I had for myself was, well, why does society react this way? Right? Why are you and I so inclined to look at this woman who's made a mistake? And it's so hard for us to see them just move on. It's so hard for us to see them get better, to apologize, to support them after they've apologized, to admit their wrongs, and basically reform their ways and reform their thinking. I'll go as far as to say that we hate it when people don't get punished. We hate it when we're the ones that are right, but the ones that are wrong aren't getting the punishment that they deserve. I was reminded of this story called The Prodigal Son. And if you're familiar with it, it's a Bible story. I won't go into too much detail. And I'm not trying to get preachy here. I just thought that it's a huge reference that we could learn from in this context. But basically what happens is, in the beginning of the story, there's this rich father and he has two sons. With the younger son, he's a troublemaker. He asks his dad for his share of the wealth that he's going to inherit when the father dies. He goes off and he squanders it, does stupid stuff, wastes it, goes broke. He comes back home with expectations that he's going to work for his father because, hey, his father treats his employees well, so might as well, right? But instead, what this father does is he welcomes him home with open arms, feeds him the best meal ever, puts all the great clothes on him, and it's almost as if he never left. And what's funny, though, is the other son, the older son, he's at home watching this whole thing unfold. He never left. He never asked for an advance in his inheritance. He stayed and did what he was supposed to do, work hard for his dad, so that one day he could inherit what he was going to inherit. And now imagine, from his perspective, he sees his younger, delinquent brother come home, squandered all the wealth. He probably thinks that his younger brother is going to get a tongue lashing from his dad. He's going to get punished, kicked out. Maybe he'll get hired as one of the servants. But instead, your freaking dad kills the cow that you wanted to eat yourself and then feeds his stupid brother of yours and treats him like he never left. In fact, he treats him like he's the favorite son. And you know what his response was? You think he was overcome with joy? His response was, man, what's wrong with you? I never got anything from you when I was doing all the right things that I was supposed to do. Why are you going out of your way to love this younger brother who squandered our wealth? Why do you love him this way? Why are you showing him this grace? What the heck? And this kind of reminded me of the way that we respond to Amy Cooper. We hate it when people don't get punished when we're the old brother. We hate it when they don't get punished, when we spend our whole lives doing the right thing. I mean, I work so hard to earn everything that's coming to me. This bum goes out and wastes it. Why should he get the cow? Why should he get a feast? Why should he get the clothes? Nah, he deserves that punishment. He should work as a servant. Don't welcome him back into the family. We want to cancel him. And I think that's the same exact thing that we do with situations like Amy Cooper. She makes a mistake and we want to cancel her. We need to see her get punished because it somehow justifies our place in doing right. But what's that really doing to change the situation? Are we so stuck on ourselves and what we think we deserve that we can't see the bigger picture and what's happening in our communities around us? Look, I think the reason why this bothers us so much is because when we're in a position of right, for example, if I am not being racist and if I don't call the cops on an innocent black man in a park, then I've earned that. I've put myself in this virtuous position. But I think that's where the problem lies, where we feel like we've earned something, where the experience that we have and the perspectives that we have are somehow something that we've gained for ourselves. And in a sense, and to a degree, I can understand that. Right? There are people who are more likely and make more effort to put themselves in different positions so they can become, quote unquote, more cultured or gain more experience. But at the same time, we can't discount the fact that the reason why we have the perspectives that we have, I would argue that most of it isn't of our own doing at all. We were raised a certain way by our parents and our families in neighborhoods, in different countries with different upbringings and socioeconomic status. If we think that we had control over all that to get to where we're at and all of a sudden we're enlightened because of the work that we did, we'd be mistaken. If I look at myself and I put myself in Amy Cooper's shoes, I can confidently say that I wouldn't have called the police on an innocent black man. But that's nothing to do with me. Right, if you talk to my parents, they'll tell you a story about me as a kid. I grew up in downtown Baltimore until I was about age 5. And they said that when I saw my first quote-unquote white person at age 5, I cried my eyes out because I was scared. I never seen a white person before. Of course, when I see the first white person, I'm going to be scared. Then, of course, if I grew up around black people for the first 5 years of my life, I'm not going to see black people as threats. It doesn't make any sense. But does that make me an anti-racist just because I grew up in that environment and learned to, quote unquote, be comfortable with black people? No, that has nothing to do with me. But on the flip side, I don't know this about Amy Cooper, but this might be the case. Maybe she grew up in a family of racists. Maybe they didn't even realize they were racist. Maybe the media that they consumed, maybe the entertainment that they consumed was just full of black people doing scary things. Maybe they were portrayed as the criminals. Maybe they were portrayed as the scary people at nighttime where you just don't want to be around. I'm not saying that's right by any means. And I'm pretty sure we have a problem with that in our country where we portray black people as more dangerous than others when they're not necessarily the case. But put yourself in her shoes. If you grew up like that in that kind of culture, is it so crazy that she would respond that way to a black man who said, quote unquote, "You're not going to like what I'm going to do next"? Because that's what Christian Cooper said. He wasn't talking about threatening her. He was talking about giving the dog treats, which most dog owners don't like. The reason why I say that is because she could have grown up in an environment where that really could have seemed like a threat to her. It doesn't excuse what she did, but hey, if this was a learning moment for her, isn't that what we want? People who are ignorant and racist to change their ways and change the way of thinking? And if this isn't the moment to do it, if this moment in time, after all this humiliation and public shame, isn't the time when you are willing to teach her and help her to become an ally, then when is the time? In fact, isn't this exactly where we want ignorant people to be? At that intersection between staying ignorant and moving forward to, I guess, enlightenment, education, and change. So what are we supposed to do with this? We need to show these people grace in these situations. Now, if they're continuing to be intentionally malicious and intentionally racist, that's something else altogether. But if someone is admitting their ignorance, admitting their faults, admitting their mistakes, and wanting to become better, all right, we need to be the bigger people that show them grace. We need to be the ones to educate them. We need to be the ones to show them that what they've learned to this point was completely incorrect. We need to be the ones that walk with them as they grow from the situation. Because like I said, that's exactly where you want them to be. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that these types of people are the best types of allies, period. When I see non-black people standing up as allies for black people, but all they have are black friends already, while that's a great thing, when I look at that situation, my response is, dude, of course you should be doing that. Of course you should be standing up for your friends. Of course you should be standing up for the people that you love and have relationships with. And while it's a great thing that you're an ally, it doesn't really strike me that much. However, when you hear about the ex-KKK members who used to hate on black people as a whole, and they reformed their ways because they learned the truth about their mistakes, and they're advocating for black lives because of the same mistakes that they've made in the past and because they want to rectify them, man, that speaks powerfully. That's an ally that I would want to have because they've seen both sides. They know the evil. They know the negativity on the wrong side of history, and now they want to be on the right one. Yeah, they made mistakes in the past, but if they're apologetic and they're doing whatever they can to correct those mistakes and live the rest of their lives trying to right the wrongs that they've made, to me, that's a powerful ally. But if we don't show them grace, if we're not the ones to teach them, and if we cancel them at every mistake that they make, there is never going to be any change that's going to happen. So my point today is simply this. When we're looking at the mistakes that other people make, let's not be so quick to forget about our own mistakes. Let's not be so quick to forget about the privileges that we've had in growing up with the experiences that we have. You're not anti-racist because you're a better person or you hold more virtue. You're anti-racist because you grew up in the right environment that taught you those values. On the flip side, most of the time, racists grow up with racist values because they've been taught that. That's all they've seen. But until they encounter otherwise, and until that quote-unquote otherwise is willing to show them, then nothing's going to change. So as people who have earned very little in the way of our experience and in the way of the culture that we have right now, let's not be so quick to judge and instead share our experiences with those that need it most, help them change, help them to become allies, and then together we can make a difference in this world. And as we go, let me remind you guys that for the next couple of weeks, we are going to continue on this topic of allies. So make sure you're connected with us on Instagram at Operation Dichotomy. And also you can follow along with what we're doing at OperationDichotomy.com. And last but not least, if you found this to be valuable, please go ahead and share it on whatever platform you're listening to it. Give us a nice review and let's get connected. Until next time, everyone.